This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We have tickets to give away for Vespers. I have Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, and Sunday evening. Not a bad seat in the house because the show comes to you. That's all I'm going to say. I'd love to give them away to first-time attendees because you only get their first time. That's magical. I mean, the first time is just a constant surprise, and you're like, whoa, what's that? You know, I mean, you just don't know what's coming.
I love the show. I'll be there Sunday at 2.
Are you going? Oh, you're matinee age now.
That's what's happened.
I feel like Rocky brought me pumpkin bread, and I'm going to the matinee on Sunday. I'm good to go.
Here we are.
I'm officially old. We are with Tanya Andricks from Crossing Healthcare this morning, and well, not just that. You're on the Milliken board.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do you? I mean, I would assume a little bit of work.
It's some work. It's a time commitment, and it's also many wonderful reasons. You know, I've been on since I think 2017. Of course, that's my alma mater. I graduated from nursing school in 91. So
that'd be Tanya Andricks, 91. Starting
yep.
to get a complex.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I learned so much. There's so many really smart people who are your fellow trustees, and you learn about their businesses through their comments. You learn about the business of higher ed, mm-hmm. which is really, really important to learn. And then you try to support the university any way that you can. And for me, it's important because, you know, I'm a nurse because of the education I got
yep.
at Milliken and those instructors, the last instructor that I had retired last year. So, you know, they've had, you know, great faculty that have really steered my life. And so that's why I do it. But I get so much more from it than I feel like I ever give,
It's an interesting, you know, it's so different, you know, than the bigger, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know if you saw the drama coming out of Ohio State, mm-hmm. you know, this weekend, not Michigan winning the football game, but the president having to step down, you know, after yeah. a very short period. And I don't know how you know, those huge mm-hmm. universities, it's such a machine. I don't know yeah. how you work all that. That's what I think is attractive or more attractive mm-hmm. to people now. It's almost like a boutique kind of thing or feeling you have with Milliken versus sure. this big machine.
Absolutely.
I mean, and Ohio State's as prestigious as you get. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, but
absolutely.
It's you're just one of, you know, this huge global number of, I mean, you're a number.
Yeah. You know, I went to Milliken, and so I didn't go to a large state university. I have friends that did. My oldest kids went to Edwardsville, and mm-hmm. so they had a different college experience than I did. I'm partial to what I experienced because I could walk up to any one of my instructors and then, you know, work side by side with several of them after I graduated.
Yeah.
So it was just, for me, it was a wonderful experience. It's every student has to pick what works for them. And, you know, Rocky was here earlier and talked about the trades. There's so many great opportunities in our region
yeah.
To sort of craft your future.
Well, did you see, you know, the young man who was in here with us, you know, who's going to be a doctor. Mm. And I told him he's already got more personality than every doctor I've ever met. Jarius Ingram.
Now, I can't say that.
I can. Jarius Ingram, who yeah. is a local kid. And, you know, we didn't get into it. It felt kind of personal, but he had a brother that passed away from a very certain kind of cancer, and you know, this is part of the mm-hmm. reason that's driving him to do research and whatnot. But I have no doubt, I'm looking at this kid and everything he's doing, this he's gonna be a rock star.
Yeah, there's some amazing students on that campus. International,
and he's the point guard for the
yeah,
basketball team,
there you
and
go.
He's, you know, all of these other
there's there are videos on their web. I knew his story because mm-hmm. There's a pro campaign they call Milliken Made It,
mm-hmm.
and Milliken Made It 23, and you can watch a couple videos about him and read all his accomplishments. There's, like mm-hmm. Tanya said, so many of them.
Yeah.
I knew his story coming in. Saw him on billboards. Legitimately.
Super cool kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't call them kids.
Well,
young men and women.
Yeah,
young men and women.
Kids.
Doing really, really awesome things.
Yeah.
And again, I think for me, just a chance to try to help my alma mater. But, you know, I learned so much from, you know, learning about, you know, all of these kids and what their needs are. Higher ed's changed and is changing.
Well, it has to.
You're absolutely correct.
We've talked about this with healthcare. Here's where I'm with Scott Galloway, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. The two categories that COVID will change forever is healthcare and higher ed.
You're absolutely correct.
It will happen. All right. So I want to talk about something that Nick will find interesting, and I hope you will find it too, because it really doesn't have anything to do with health, but it has to do with relationships and people and how we do things and feel about ourselves. And I was reading this story on NPR, and before you go commie pinko, whatever, it has nothing to do with politics. I like NPR. I question why it has to be tax subsidized. You know, if you're in our industry, you go, that seems a little unfair that they get supported, you know, that way. But I like the reporting, and I like their lifestyle reporting. And this is the whole look at improv and what the basic rules of improv are. If you apply them to some areas of your life, can make a big difference in how you interact, how you feel at work, your confidence, how you laugh, how you learn to enjoy. And there's such a fine line with this, because I am all in for change. That was the greatest conversation between Howard Stern and Bruce Springsteen during that 2-hour and 18-minute interview, was that sometimes you just have to shed people. And people who won't change or won't adapt or won't move, I mean, you got to move on, and then you pick up other people that, you know, that it's okay to do that.
Yes.
And I think we worry about that too much in life.
I think you're not wrong there. I think that there's many of us, and it's personality to style, that tend to be very loyal or think that, you know, they have to stay, I don't know, connected to different people in their lives. But the truth is you have to decide, you know, who is serving you well and who are serving them well.
But you have to evolve.
For sure.
I mean, if you're the same person, I mean, I think there's people that think there's this nobility, nothing changes me. It's like, well, okay, maybe you're the problem, right?
I think the best thing is moving and growing.
Okay.
I don't see it as change as much as personal growth.
Okay, but you do change.
Of course.
Because you evolve.
You're absolutely correct.
I look at things, you know, like sometimes I'll watch movies, you know, like from 1991, and I'll go, oh my God, I can't believe they said that. And I think, okay, that was just the norm in 1991. This is also, I think, the problem with people who refuse to believe that we change at all or grow or become better, because all you got to do is go back 30 years and look at what was acceptable, and that's not acceptable today, right? That's change.
And that's good.
Yeah, it is. So I'm reading this thing, but now here's the flip side of me on this, because I absolutely hate when we have these company things and they want to try to force this on you. We went to the improv in Chicago. All of our leadership team did, and had to do improv exercises with all the leadership team. Now, the people at the improv were great. It's fun. You get to go there. You see all the pictures on the wall, all the famous people that have gone through there. The instructors were very funny and nice. But you have to do this improv thing with people who are terrible at it, or people that you really don't like that much, or people that you just sort of have a professional level and that's really all you're going to have. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I hate things like that.
I do. It's like I would do it on my own in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Being cattle into there with, like, you know, that is like just like, I remember when the Japanese used to start the day with like athletics. So you do jumping jacks and stuff. You remember that great movie with Michael Keaton where they bought the auto plant? These culture clashes. I the forced thing I can't stand, but I'm getting better at it the older I get.
I'm impressed.
Just don't be. There's no reason to be impressed.
Well, because
it's like this much growth.
Yeah, because I can't stand sort of. I'm with you if I'm choosing to put myself into one of those types of experiences.
I'm in there. I'm right in it.
Yes. Okay. For sure. But I don't like to be sort of made.
No. So we had to go up. We had to do this. And I'll never forget this. We had a guy at work for us who no longer works for us. And we never got along. I mean, it wasn't like it was okay, but I mean, there was just clearly a personality thing that was never going to be, you know, aligned. Right. And I ended up having him as a partner, you know, with some of this stuff. And it was like, so you had to just really consciously try not to physically roll your eyes or, you know, I'm always betrayed by my expressive body Same. Language. I cringe when you cringe, you know, I just remember having this struggle, like, okay, I'll take this as a personal challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like suck it up and I'm going to be a mirror and I'm going to just, you know, do everything they say. It was awful.
What are the rules? What is it that you're supposed to?
Well, you do team exercises, mm-hmm. you do individual, like partner exercises. It's all very forced and it's hard to, I mean, like I said, if I'm there on my own all day, but when you're there, like, because work requires you to be there and you're with people of all different kinds of personalities and some are, hardly any of them are on-air people, like performers or personalities. You know, it's hard to improv with the finance guy.
I was just thinking.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Betty from Billing.
Yes. It's yeah. like, okay, we're going to be funny with HR now. It's like, no.
That's so interesting.
But anyway, yeah. So it was an interesting experience. Uh-huh. So when I read this story yesterday, I kind of have been through one of these improv things, and I would recommend it. It was very nice, and they do a great job of like hosting you, and you know they're very nice.
To go with your friends.
Yeah, if you were going to do something like that with friends, it'd be a blast.
Yeah,
I think it would even be a blast to do it with strangers. I think it's when you get the built-in walls.
Yeah,
and see now they think. Management that breaks down those walls.
No.
I think it just puts more bricks.
I think it makes us all collectively roll our eyes at management.
I know, but there are people right. that really, you know, sure. Thankfully they did a dude ranch thing one time. Mm. I didn't have to go to.
That's a missed opportunity.
That was before we realigned management. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And Beth was always very creative and wanted to try things and always, you know, so like we'd get together and there would always be rules. And this and yes thing is one of these things improv does that you know, instead of just saying no.
Okay.
You're supposed to respond and yes, and then be able to take it where you accept something instead of rejecting it as a way of having conversation starters where everybody feels welcome to throw ideas out.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It teaches us to expand our thought process.
It does. But sometimes there's hard no's in life.
Yeah, I understand.
But those kind of things. So I'm reading this.
So you can't say and yes when someplace freezes over. Because there's an and yes.
I mean, and yes really means no. It's just a polite way of saying, have you thought about this better idea?
So is it political training? Are you trying to be a politician?
No.
Okay,
it's just,
it.
It's meant to think about dialogue in a different way, right?
Yeah.
And to have conversations in a different way. And I'm down for that. You know, I always, Beth has a huge brain, and I was always all in on anything she wanted to do because we really... Kind of, I don't think we saw life the same way at all, but we had a similar brain function thing that matched, like in our scoring, you know, we did the Gallup testing. Mm-hmm. I think we had 3 out of the 5 that are the same, and mathematically, that is a very large number mm-hmm. to have that alignment.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So we had like-minded brains, and so, but we did a lot of this stuff. But here's the improv suggestion. The and yes thing is the first thing. And this is a woman who was very shy at work, and she decided to take an improv class because she was told that it would, you know, give her more confidence and you know, speaking up in front of people and speaking at meetings, and she found that it did. But the number one rule is yes and how it's used in improv. Many improv performances begin with a single suggestion from an audience. Let's say someone shouts out pineapple, if you've ever been to one of these shows, right? Performers will riff on this word to generate ideas for the scene. If you're on stage and your partner says, congrats on opening this tiki bar. You don't want to say we're not in a tiki bar. We're at my pet shop. That would put your partner in a tough position. So you do the yes and you can give an alternative rather than just flat out rejecting or saying no to this thing. So in life, if we have a tendency to say no, it's easier than trying to listen and understand what someone else is asking of us. For example, we often say no to new ideas because we're not sure, we have uncertainty, but the idea of yes and gives you a moment to pause, to listen, and to create something new from what someone else is offering. So it's not a flat no.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Nick? Are you sleeping back there?
No, I was thinking about what I had a boss who he would talk about something and I would say, well, you know what you should have done? Or I would have, because it's like, hey, I like what you did, but why didn't you take it up a notch? So whenever I'd walk up to him, you're like, should have done. So I don't think anybody wants to hear your yes and all the time. But yes, it's a good way to find some kind of common ground and be able to work through things and being graceful to the person who threw the first thing out.
Yes.
Instead of just outright
or just taking what they threw out and moving in a little different direction instead of just a rejection.
Yeah, okay. Exactly right.
I'll deal with that. Rule number two, embrace mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
If you do something you didn't mean to do in your scene, if you mispronounce a word or you can't, they don't pause or do a retake or get out of character. They just go right on over it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think too many people want to highlight the mistake by going back and explaining the mistake and apologizing for the mistake and correcting the mistake when most people don't even process it and you just move on.
Yeah, they either build on it or act like it didn't happen. And well, I like both.
Huh?
I like both. I even like when mistakes happen in movies and you hear people fumble and they laugh and it creates an organic moment and it makes it better.
Just don't dwell on them.
Yeah. Yeah, don't make it a thing. Just act like, just go.
Don't shy away from yourself. And this is an interesting one to me. Some performers think they have to make broad references to pop culture, what's happening in the news, blah, blah, blah. But they shy away from their own personality. And this has to do with, like, instead of you just being you trying to sort of play some kind of role, instead of just being the authentic you. And I think
so
people
if you're
have
a dork, be a dork.
Yeah, I think leaning into yourself, right, is a thing that's hard for a lot of people to do, particularly in a public setting or in a meeting where you're maybe you don't feel like you have a voice or you're shy or you're uncertain. That leaning into you, don't try to be somebody else.
I would agree that age helps you with that. When you're comfortable in your own skin,
The older you get,
It's easier the older that you get. I think that's hard for younger people sometimes.
I think, well, maybe it's a perspective thing. Maybe it's context. a comfort in your own skin, you know, after years of building up.
For sure.
You know, okay. Be present in your body.
That's really good advice. That's the whole deep breath.
Is that what it, okay.
Yeah, so it's not being up in your head. You know, our brains think all the time. That's our brain's job. Our lungs breathe and our hearts beat. So your brain's always thinking. But if that's where your mind is, or that's what you're paying attention to, you're missing what's in front of you.
Right. So is your jaw clenched or your shoulders hunched over? Do you feel, you know, this is where meditation, where breathing and all of that comes in.
Yeah.
It's the first thing. What was Mike Tyson's line? You know, everyone has a plan till you get punched in the face, which is always like the best advice ever from Mike Tyson. And then how do you react to that punch in the face? And sometimes it's the clenched jaw, it's the hunched shoulders, and you don't realize you're doing it. It's why athletes learn, right? Boxers learn, anybody. The breathing is the most important thing.
Get you in your own body.
Yeah.
Andre Agassi, I read this yesterday. He detected a tick on Boris Becker's mouth on which direction he was going to serve the ball. And he beat him.
You mean like a tick, like a nervous tick, not a tick, like an animal.
Like a nervous tick. Like, for example, he sticks his tongue out if he's hitting left. He had a tell. Yeah. And he beat him 10 out of 11 matches and told him after they retired in a bar how he did it.
That's funny. Oh, wow. Make room for play.
Good advice.
Improv is play. We make up games, we laugh at the absurd, and you can feel like I don't think people have enough fun at work, but then I also think there are people that do way more fun than work.
You are so correct.
It's the problem with all of these is you can go to the edge either way and it's bad. How do you find the middle?
I don't know. I think that we're often a society of extremes, and it drives me a little crazy.
Right.
All of that's good advice.
This is the stuff they say you learn in improv that will help you with your confidence. You know, it will help you. Like the kid today was out of the norm for a college kid, right? Comfortable, shoulders straight, close to the microphone, sure of himself. Got to a spot where he kind of, you could tell, and then auto-corrected and went right over it. You know, I think it is maybe, you know, sometimes an age thing when you haven't done a lot of it. But public speaking is still the number one fear by far and away of, on the list of fears. It's higher than death, which is never.
Makes no sense to me.
It's like, no, I'd rather die. Come on. But you forget it doing this job. I am constantly surprised, even though I shouldn't be, about how nervous people get.
Yeah, I hear that from people because I'm grateful that I don't have.
Did you always feel that way?
So
I didn't like to get up in speech class in high school. So, I mean, it wasn't something that I was born with.
Well, you know, I was in show choir.
That translate even though, you know, that was a group and you're one of a big part? I mean, did that
help? I think it gave me confidence. Yeah. I think that being up in front of people and singing and dancing, that's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And
I swear we're going to do a show choir number one morning on a Wednesday.
One of these days. I can do it.
I just swear viral written all over it, don't you think, Nick?
I think it'd frighten people.
I think it'd be awesome.
All right, do we need to take a break?
We could use one.
Okay, we've been going on and on. Get outside your comfort box. That's the best advice I have, right?
And I like to stay present.
And
stay out of your head.
Out of your routine. Mm-hmm. Well, get those routines. And boy, COVID taught us that, if nothing else. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more Tanya in the studios right after this.
Tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
In 1965, my father founded Brinkotter Realtors with a singular goal, to support his community's real estate needs with integrity, purpose, and a forward-facing approach to business. Over 55 years later, Brinkotter Realtors still embodies that spirit. Connection, commitment, community. When you're planning to make a move, go with the name you know. Get the service you deserve. Go to Brinkotter.com to connect with one of our agents today.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
I want more than a healthcare job. I want to work where I feel valued.
I want a place that helps me grow my career.
A place where every day feels different.
A place with an inclusive environment.
That's why I work at Memorial Health.
Memorial Health.
It's more than a workplace.
It's the right place for me.
And now is the right time to apply.
Visit jobs.memorial.health today.
Memorial is an equal opportunity employer.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, happy holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Springfield area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704. Online at CordellCordell.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Did you ever see The Pope of Greenwich Village?
Yes.
Great movie. Mm-hmm. Mickey Rourke, Eric Roberts, Daryl Hannah. It was Daryl Hannah, right?
I think so.
And there's a line where she's the Anglo-Saxon, he's the Italian guy in the relationship, and his cousin, you know, and she's trying to plead with him that, you know, you need to outgrow people, you know. And he said, we're Italians. We outgrow clothes. We don't outgrow people. It's a great line.
It's a great line.
Because the cousin was bringing him down and taking him down into crime. And I mean, mm-hmm. that he had a chance to be something bigger than that, you know, but he didn't because you can't outgrow your circle. I think it happens a lot.
I think you're right.
You'll see famous artists, you know, that mm-hmm. make a lot of money and could probably afford to live anywhere and be very secure, and they get killed at a bowling alley because they can't get rid of some of that crowd they didn't outgrow or didn't mm-hmm. have the ability to get beyond, right? And I think it's important. But be careful if you're a boss out there. Forcing this stuff is... It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
And I'm not uncomfortable in the process of improv. It's uncomfortable doing it with people who are incredibly uncomfortable.
Right.
I like the idea of the random outing. I think it's. I actually think it's refreshing.
Okay. That's because you're lonely.
Nick, are you
Correct.
Lonely?
Yeah. I should see all now, my stuff.
So you would want to be like... Yeah. Okay. If you really do it right, maybe. I just don't feel like it's ever done right.
I think you have to be very
thoughtful.
Maybe it's
an internal flaw of their company.
Yeah, I think you need to be very thoughtful when you pair people off and do things like that and recognize, you know, you don't always know what people's anxieties
and I also have to know what other people find attractive or appealing. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be rah-rahed. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my own rah-rah meter. I don't need it to be, you know, I don't need an extra dose of it.
Right.
In fact, that generally will trigger the eye rolling. See, it's almost like, I mean, I can't even help it. It's like just literally.
Mm-hmm. I think that leaders sometimes get confused that this once a year event is somehow going to improve culture. And it's really the little
like
things.
That.
It's the day-to-day little things that,
like that
matter.
Yes.
Little stuff.
Preach.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.